Okay, Chaver, let's learn. The Tiferes Yosef, the page that you have in front of you, Tiferes Yosef, is from Reb Mordechai Yosef Elazar from Radzin. That's the son of the Rebbe of Gershon Hanuch, the son of the famous Tchelis Chusig and Elena. The Torahs of the Tiferes Yosef generally tend to be more understandable than his father's, but less understandable than his grandfather. Still, it's all a perish on the Torah of the Mashiloch. It's a perish on the teachings of the Alta Zayde of the Mashiloch. The Rebbe begins, it's on the right side, which is Vehibi Yamashmini. Each Torah in Radzin and the Ishbitz in Lublin, it's an Oilam Malay. And as is often the case, it's based upon a teaching in the Zohar Kodesh. The Zohar Kodesh is talking about Iyov. Now, you know that Iyov had a lot of questions. And the entire Sefer, discussions, arguments, very, very deep philosophical, theological discussions. And as we get closer to the end of the Sefer, there's a storm, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Iyov. Hashem Shabbach speaks to Iyov from within the storm. And Hashem Shabbach doesn't answer his questions. I don't know if any of you have learned Sefer Iyov. It's a very, very hard Sefer. But it's part of Tanakh. Rav Gifta used to say, if you don't know Gemara, you're not Amaretz Midrabban. If you don't know Tanakh, you're not Amaretz Midraisa. It's hard, but it's hard. So the Baruch Shalom tells Iyov, he doesn't answer his questions. Iyov had all kinds of questions. Why did Tzaddikim suffer? Why did the Rishayim? Why do Rishayim have it good? These are big questions. And the Baruch Hu doesn't answer the questions. He just says, basically he says, I'm paraphrasing, basically Hashem Shabbat says to you, well, who do you think you are? He says, where were you when I created the world? Where were you when I created the world? Have a cheshbon. I created the world. Do you know anything about that? Hashem says to you, Eifah hayisa biyaz di aretz. Where were you when I established the universe? You weren't there. And it says in that pasuk, where were you when I established the earth, the universe, Baron Yachad? Where were you when the morning stars sang together? Rabbi Yitzchak Pasach, Baron Yachad, Koich Veboik, Yavirio Kol B'nei Elohim. You see the beginning of the piece. Where were you when the morning stars, the Koich Veboik, was singing together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Where were you at the time of creation? What do you understand about the nature of the universe that you have all these kashas on me? And then the Zohar goes on. Ubaraisa Isbri, I'll tell you the Zohar in Lashon HaKodesh, the translations, but Ubaraisa, as Hashem says over there, the Zohar brings down how fortunate Hashem Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. Ubaraisa Isbri Alma. And Hashem created the universe with the Torah. V'chulu. The Zohar says that Hashem said to the Torah that I want to create man. Hashem created the universe with the Torah. Hashem says to the Torah, I want to create man. Hashem says that to the Torah, that I'm going to create man. And Omra Araisa Kameh, and the Torah says, the Torah says to Hashem Yisbarach, Hay Barnas Zam Lamechta La'agoza Kamach Eloi Sarach Rugzalei Hayach Yokum Ba'alma. The Torah says to Hashem that this human being that you're going to create is going to sin. He's going to sin against you. And he's going to anger you. So if you're not marich af, the Torah says to kivyochel to Hashem, this is what the Zohar says, if you're not marich af, I don't know how to translate marich af, erech apayim, if you're not tolerant, marich af, patient, so on, then how will the world exist? Ha'ech yokum ba'alma. So Hashem says to the Torah, Amlo anov at noikim lahi ba'alma. Hashem says an amazing thing. Hashem says to the Torah, me and you, we'll establish man in the world. Me and you together. Hashem says to the Torah, the two of us together, myself and you, we're going to establish man in the world. Dolav lemagnes karina erech apayim. And it's not for no reason, loy lechinim in Hebrew, that Hashem says that I am called erech apayim. That's the Zohar. Let's learn. The tzaddik, the Tiferes Yosef, explains the pnimius, the oymek, what the inyan of this inyan of erech apayim is, which is that we see is the sherish of man's existence. If not for erech apayim, we wouldn't exist. What does that mean, and how does that connect to Parsha Shmini? So that's what the Tiferes Yosef is explaining. Omer b'zeh kvoid adoni mori v'rabi. He brings from his father, from Rav Gershon Hanuch Radziner. Ki be'eis hashena. At the time when man is asleep. Oz ein nira ba'adam shum yisrein ha'adam an abahema. When a person is sleeping, we don't see any advantage that a human being has over an animal. Because man's greatness, man's mila over the animal, is ki a behema kol evareha shavim. The animal walks on all four, and therefore all of the evarim of the animal are spread across equally on the same plane of creation, horizontally. And ve'ein ro'im shum chilik ben eva leva. Since the animal is across, there's no chilik between the roish, the brain, the head of the animal, and the tail of the animal. There's no chilik. Like the Maral always explains, that behem is the oisius, ba, ma. In it is what it is. There's no mila that one part of the animal has over another part of the animal. It's a behem in every single part of it. It's a behem. Shani Yodam. But a human being is different. Shu haylech b'kayma zekufa. A human being does not Chalilu exist horizontally. A human being's life is lived vertically. But it's a koyma shlema, miroish ad kaf haregel, from the head to the heel. V'hainu shaharoish hu melech al kol ha'evarim, because the rosh is the melech al kol ha'evarim. Stands above, it's the crown. It rules over, it's supposed to rule over all of the evarim, all of one's limbs and one's organs. Of course, you have people whose stomach tells them what to do. And then you have other people who there are other parts of the body that dictate to them what to do. But the tzuras ha'odam is in such a way of melech, moach, the brain, the lave, the heart, and the kaved, and the liver. From the top, there's a koma shlema, from the top all the way down to the bottom. Because the Rosh by a human being is designated and assigned to be the melech, to rule over his entire existence. Therefore, the human being walks in such a way, he lives in such a way. But that's only when he's awake. Then he's melech al kolei, for the Rosh is melech al kolei, v'ramu manigasam, obeis Hashena. However, when a person is sleeping, ain on a rayim zechilik. When a person is asleep, that chilik is not obvious. When the person is lying down, when he's sleeping, so at that point there's that world that he shares with the animal that lives horizontally, not vertically. Horizontal existence is one where there is no malchus of the mind. Every aver has its say. You understand? Every limb, every organ has its say. A human being wasn't created to live such a life on his back. A human being was created to live in such a way where the mind is the melech. He's a kremes kufa. Who yolechene kamen miyus la'etzei, not crawling on our knees to the President of the United States or the head of the Palestinians. To be who yolechene kamen miyus la'etzei, with our heads up high. You know that there's a machlekes in Chagiga. The Gemara tells us that there's a machlekes with the other Marishan that he was such a giant that it was, one view says he was from Shemayim to Eretz. The other says that he was Misaifa Elamat Saifa. It's nogeya to what we're learning now. How does a person see himself? Horizontally or vertically? The tachlis is that we see ourselves as Shemayim to Eretz, heaven to earth. When a person is walking with his head on his shoulders, up straight and tall, that vertical way of life means that he's connecting heaven and earth. And that the mind is conducting the malchus and rules over his limbs. His body doesn't tell him what to do. His mind tells him what to do. But when you're on your back, when you're lying down, when you're asleep, then you don't see this chilik. Ein on a roam zeh chilik. Ki oz ein hadeya moshelis. When a person is sleeping, the intellect is not in control. The mind is not ruling at the time of sleep. Ubei shodom oimed bebehiris of oimed bedeet slul of Neshemes Baruch. Only when a person is standing bebehiris. It's not just a matter of your physical posture, it's a way of thinking. It's that vertical way of thinking, but behirus, where your mind is clear. For oimed b'deyat slula, his mind, his thoughts are clear. L'fnei Hashem Yisbarach, what does it mean to think clearly? To think clearly is the beginning of Shulchan Aruch. Shavis Hashem l'negdisam. Those who are mishalchem, atzadikim, mishalchem l'fnei Elokim, who live every minute of their lives in God's presence, aware of God's presence. That's what it means to have. That's what it means to have behirus and deyat slula. That's what it means when your mind is in control. Oz roa ech shetvisoso yesh lo chibur im arizbar. Only then can a person understand. Can he see that his tfisa, his grasp of reality, is connected to the Or of Hashem? Only then does the person look at reality the way that God looks at the reality. And what's the tachlis? What's important? Kamoish Isa Bishas. The Gemara says in Brachas, Haroitz l'kablo of Ol Malchus Shemayim, Shleima, Yifne v'itol Yodav. Gemara says, an Eitzah. Gemara says a person who wants to be makabel upon himself, Ol Malchus Shamayim Shleim, he wants to accept upon himself Ol Malchus Shamayim in a perfect way, Shleima, then there's a certain Seder the Gemara tells us for how a person should do that, and the Seder of how the mourning should go. Yifne, a person goes and clears out his body, he goes to the bathroom. V'yitol Yodav, washes his hands. V'yanich Tfilm, puts on Tfilm. V'yikra Kriyashma, davens, says Kriyashma. V'yispal, and Shemoneser. That's the general outline of how the mourning of a Jew should look. So the Radina explains, Hainu ki yifna. What does it mean, yifna? It's not just emptying out your bladder. The Gemara says that the day begins, or one's Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim begins with going to the bathroom. What does that have to do with Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim? Right? The Gemara is asking, what's true Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim? So the first thing it says is you make an Asher Yotzer. That's the go to the bathroom. Yifna means clearing out. That's the Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim. So obviously it's hinting to something deeper. And the Rebbe explains, Hainu ki yifne, Moira shemesalik mimeno kol hanegiyas olam hazeh. Clearing out is not on a deeper level referring to biology, to the bladder. It's referring to clearing away all of the negiyas that you have of olam hazeh. It's clearing out all of the texts and all of the emails and all of the females and all of the shtusim and havolim and all of the negiyas and all of the dependencies you have upon the world of the guf. It means delete, clear, yifne, emptying out. Shemesalik mimenu kol hanegiyas olam hazeh. That's a lot harder than going to the bathroom. Umeisim yimenu kol hamesaros. Just like going to the bathroom, one gets rid of all of that that doesn't belong, the mesaros that the body has to get rid of. The deeper meaning of yifna means getting rid of all that the mind, the heart of a Jew shouldn't have. Getting rid of all of that. Emptying out. Which is always a prerequisite to hisboninus, to deep meditation, emptying out, clearing. Umashanisha et slow, in the same way that when after a person goes to the bathroom, then what? Then, as far as his body is concerned, hu hakol mashet tzarech l'chaim shelo. What remains is that which he needs to live. The extra stuff is flushed away. The not good stuff. And what remains is his life. That's the deeper meaning of clearing out one's consciousness from all of those things that don't belong. So that all you're left with is life itself. Life itself. Chai Chaim Baruch Hu. Life itself. V'yitol Yodav, the next stage in Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, is v'yitol yodav, washing the hands. K'may shana oimrim, like we say. Many people say the pasuk when they wash their hands. Su yedeichem kodesh. Su, lift up your hands. Su yedeichem kodesh. To that world of kodesh, of holiness. Haynu shemagbi hayadayim. What does this mean, to lift up the hands? Shemagbiya hayadayim, shehem roimzim ala kli pu'ula. The hands are a symbol of man's being active in the physical world. Everything we accomplish with our hands. Ubemes hem rechoikim b'yoysim and hadas. The truth is that the hands, even in English, they're called, those parts of the body are called the extremities. The hands are far from the mind. And very often a person does things with his hands that his mind doesn't agree with. person lights up a cigarette. The mind of an intelligent person is saying, this is a very dumb thing to do. This is suicidal. Hence, remember, if the mind is not melech, then the hands act on their own. They seem to be acting on their own. Sometimes you don't want to do something, you don't want to press a certain button, and you can't control yourself, etc., etc. Su'u yadeichem kodesh, lift up your hands to your head. That's what it means. That's what you see. That al pi kabbalah, you've seen people when they wash their hands, the Sfaradim all wash their hands like that, that they lift up their hands, and they put their hands across from their head. Su'u yadeichem kodesh means, the Rebbe explains, means the effort that one makes to coordinate his hands, his activities in this world, with what he does, with who he is, with what he thinks. To bring the hands, to wash them of the silliness of that behema way of living where everything is physical, and to lift one's hands across from one's mind. Su yideichem kodesh. Hainu, shekol, the next column on top, hainu shekol ma shahadas ein roya, anything that the mind does not see, eich sheyesh bepula hazayis kovod shemayim, if the mind does not sense, does not understand, that from this particular act of the hands, that there's going to come out kovod shemayim, lo yasu hayadayim. The mind commands the hands not to do it. So if a person is Isaac in something in business, that's questionable. Su yideichem kodesh means that aligning the hands with the mind, through that alignment of the hands with the mind is able to command, to order, to infuse the hands with that truth that the mind knows, so that the hands pull away from doing something in business that's not straight, from, God forbid, touching somebody else's money, signing something he shouldn't sign. Su yideichem kodesh. Ech sheyesh ba'pul azayis kovet shemayim lo yaso hayadayim. If kovet shemayim is not going to come from this, then lo yaso hayadayim. There was a big rabbi, I don't remember right now who it was. Maybe it was Rabbi Aaron Kalina, Rabbi Aaron HaGadol, but I'm not sure. And he was staying someplace, and there was a Yekke, a German Jew that was staying in that place. In that, whatever that hotel, there was a German Jew. So it was a person who was clean-shaven, and he was wearing European clothing. But the tzaddik, when the tzaddik came into this place, the whole place was like shining from this, and he saw the light coming from this Yekke, from this German Jew. And Baron Kalina was intrigued that from a clean-shaven Western Jew, there should come forth such radiance, such light. And Baron Kalina wanted to find out what makes this guy tick. Like, well, what's the story with this guy? With this Yekke. So in conversation with him, it turned out the following. Again, it's a longer story, but the gist of it is as follows. That he was talking, this Yekke didn't know that Rabbi Aaron Kalina was a famous rabbi. This Yekke is not from over there, he didn't know anything about him. And they were talking. And in conversation, Rabbi Aaron Kalina was trying to get to find out this person, how he lives. Like, why does he have such an R? Where does this R come from? So it turns out that this Yekke said to Baron Kalina that the last thing he says at night, before he goes to sleep, is that, Rabbi Shalom, if you see that tomorrow I'm not going to bring you more Kavod Shemayim that I brought you today, then I'm asking you now not to give me back my life. That's how we go to sleep every night. Rabbi Aaron Kalina said, okay, I get it. He said, that's where he went to sleep. if you see that I'm not going to bring you more covet tomorrow, that it won't, my life won't be a better life tomorrow, then I don't need it back. Keep it. I want to go out on top. Then keep it. Kabbalah so malchus shemayim. Mashadas in a roya ech sheyesh bapula hazayis kovet shemayim lo yaso hidayim. The mind tells the hands that if what you're going to do is not going to bring more kovet shemayim, you're not doing it. Don't do it. That's the malchus of the mayach, of the mind. The next stage, v'yikra kriyashma. The next thing is, the next, the kodem kol is emptying out, then washing one's hands, raising their hands to the mind. And the next stage in Kabbalah Somach Shemayim is reading kriyashma. V'yikra kriyashma, which we understand, hainu shemoyse kol haritzaynes shaloy la'ashem esbar. Kriyashma, of course, means I give over all my, everything that I want. It's not about me. It's about you. It's about you. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's what that Jew, that Yekka was saying, the German Jew was saying. It's not about me. And if my life is going to go away from the Baruch Shalom's will, then I don't want to live. That's not why I'm here. So Kriyashma is Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that he's Moise Kol HaRitzayin. He gives up all of his Ritzayinus. All I want is Ratzon Hashem. That's all I want. Echad. My life should be just Ratzon Hashem. Echad. Now we know that Kriyashma is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Is everybody following Chavir there? So that's Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. And then, after all of that, the Gemara says, "V'oz what v'yispalo." Then you daven Shemoneh Esrei. Then you daven Shemoneh Esrei. Mutaloy lishal al kol tzarchei haguf. Then you could ask for everything that your body needs. Then you could ask. Then what you're asking for is chashuv. Then after all of that, kabbalas al malchus shemayim. Then v'yispalo. Now ask for the things in Shemoneh Esrei. Once the guf has become subjugated to the malchus of the mind of kedusha, sui dechem kodesh, so then all the things that we ask for in Shemoneh Esrei are filled with kedusha. Why is the person baruch leinu hashana hazayis? We ask Hashem in Shemoneh Esrei, baruch leinu Hashem, bless this year. What does that mean to you that Hashem should bless this year? So you ask the person. It means I should make a lot of money. It means that I should be matzliach in school, whatever it is. On that list, there could be a couple of things that are also l'shem shamayim. But when a person clears out and lifts his hands up to his mind and is miyached shem Hashem, as mekabel malchus shamayim, then his personal bakoshes, his personal requests in Shemoneh Esrei are all filled with kedusha, are all filled with holiness. Because it's not about me. When he asked Hashem, Rofei Chole Amo Yisrael, that there should be a healing, that I shouldn't be sick or I should be cured from my sickness, it's not that I should be able to feel well. My stomach is hurting me from eating Pesach Dika stuff for the last 8 days. I'm gonna die because I stuffed my face, and therefore I need a refuah. No, so that I could go because I'm supposed to go out to the latest Glatt Kosher restaurant in Manhattan on Wednesday, but I can't right now because I'm not feeling well. So please, Rabbi Shlomo, help me. I should have a refuah that I should be able to get to the new restaurant on Wednesday. That's what it means. When a person asks for a refuah, it's because every single moment of his life he wants to serve God. And in order to serve God, like the Tzaddikim of Chabad say, that if there's a little hole in the guf, there's a big hole in the neshama. And you have to be healthy to serve Hashem. You have to feel good. You have to be healthy. The person works out, it's because it's important for his health to work out and to get exercise. Not that when he pulls up his sleeve for tefillin, everybody should go, whoa. Whoa, look at this. Where were you this summer? Like, what did you do? Everything that he asks for is kavod shamayim. Because it's not about me. That's what it means to be signed up in this malchus. In this malchus of avodas Hashem, of kabbalas al malchus shamayim. So then he can ask for anything that he feels that he needs, because what he feels that he needs is not for his own selfish personal use. That's been cleared out. It's what he needs in order to be an Eved Hashem. And there are things that a Jew needs to be an Eved Hashem. If you don't have money, you can't buy tefillin. If you don't have money, you can't send your kids to yeshiva. You can't buy an Arba Minim. You can't have a talis katan. It's not about me. Because once he's already removed and cleared out all of these personal negiyas of what I like, what I want, and he's signed up for the malchus, he's enlisted in Hashem's malchus, then everything is part of the malchus. It's not his personal need. Like the same way, if you enlist in the army, imagine a guy signs up in the army and they don't give him a gun. He says, I need a gun. He says, what do you want a gun for? He says, what do you want? He says, what do you like to go? You like to go shooting in your backyard stuff? Like I remember, I was in the country. I was in the Catskills once, and I don't know, my wife got into a conversation with one of the Hicks up there, and I don't know how this came about, but. Basically, what she said, that she was complaining that her husband doesn't work. He hasn't worked, and she's an old lady. My husband hasn't worked in 50, you know, he's missing like all the teeth. You know what I'm talking about. Like, my husband hasn't worked in 50 years. So my wife asked her, so what does he do all day? So she said, only the way that they could talk. I can't imitate it, but she said it. She said, he sits on the porch. She used a lot of four-letter words, you know, every third, like, this is what a husband does for 50 years. He sits on the porch with a shotgun. And he likes to shoot at birds on trees. He shoots at the birds. That's what he does. Chashivas, a life to live like that. So what does he need his eyesight for? He needs his eyesight to be able to kill birds. When a person surrenders himself to the Bari Olam, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he has, when he needs the person that needs a rifle when he's in the army, it's because he's serving the king. What do you? I need a rifle to go shoot birds in my backyard, for my porch. No, I need a rifle because I'm here for the king. So what? That's why I need an outfit. I need a uniform. I need a helmet. I need a car. I need whatever. These are the things that I need for the malchus. Now you can't fake that. If you're enlisted in Hashem's malchus, then your personal needs are not personal. Those are the needs of the king himself, kivyachal. Your tefillin, your tzitzis, your kids being in yeshiva. That's the malchus. Umeachash Hashem is baruch chofetz ba'avaydis adam. Since Hashem has revealed, whatever this means, but Hashem has revealed that he desires our avoda. He wants us to serve him. Va'avaydit tzarech liyaz baguf, and in order to serve him, he put us into a physical world. I can't serve you unless you give me something to eat. I can't serve you if I don't have a roof over my head. What am I supposed to do if I don't have clothing? So you need the things that you're davening for. Chaynin hadas, reifei chayli ami yisrael, mevar hashanim. I need these things not because of me. If all of his needs are tzorche shamai, they're the needs of the malchus, of the kingdom, for other Jews. I want to give tzedakah. What am I supposed to do? I don't have anything to give people. It's not that I need. My needs are your needs, kivyoch. It's a different life. It's a vertical life. You understand? It's from up, down, down, up. He's living like that. That's Malchus. Not a cross, like an animal. Like this. This entire program works when a person is standing up tall, bibihirus, and he is clear. It's clear to him that he's an Eved Hashem. That the tachlis of his life is Shivis Hashem Lenegdi Samin. Ozroa Echshet Fisoso. Then he begins to see that what he wants is what God wants. That his needs are God's kivyochel, God's needs. That his or, his light, the light of his life, is kivyochel, the light of the Shechin in this world. It's not that he's at odds with Hashem. What gives me pleasure is causing God aggravation. That's how most people live. That what gives the person pleasure, the guf, is what gives HaKadosh Baruch Hu this pleasure. This person who's standing up tall, everything in his life he understands through the eyes kivyochel of Hashem Yisbaruch himself. That's the Malchus. But it's very, very hard to live in such a way. And even if a person has times where it's clear, but to sustain such clarity is constantly to live that way is impossible for a human being. Therefore, sometimes it's hidden from the person, that clarity of sensing elokus and everything and everywhere and living completely top to bottom, vertically. It's sometimes hidden, and one goes through a hard time, whatever it is, and he doesn't see with such behirus, with such clarity. The mind is a little bit cloudy. And that is hinted at the time of sleep. There are people who only sleep when they're sleeping. There are people who sleep when they're awake. It doesn't mean to daydream in their sleep. It means that doesn't mean to be asleep when you're awake. It means that like a baim. Horizontal. But when a person is sleeping, Ashain Hadas Mashalas us, then the mind is not ruling. So we go through stages in life where we fall asleep. And when we're sleeping, the different limbs and organs of the body begin to take over. The mind is not. And we can't empty ourselves of those desires. And there's tremendous confusion. Alkein ha'etzah k'moyshe isa b'shas. What's the etzah? What do you do? And here's where the Rebbe connects. Is beginning to put the entire Torah here together. He says Chazal give a little bit later in Brachas and Chavtes and Medbeis an etzah, which is a follow up of what we're just learning. When a person is going out for the day or to go on a trip, you're going to work, whatever. When a person is yoitz l'derech, he molech b'koincha, take leave of the one who created you. Like ask permission. Bitsay, and then leave. K'sha'ata yoitz l'derech, he molech b'koincha, bitsay. What does that mean? What does it mean to take leave of the one who created you? To ask permission? Hainu ki'ata misyare shema b'soicha tirda v'yisuchal lachzois b'Hashem. What does it mean before a person goes out? When a person goes out, it means goes out into the world. Into the busy, hectic world that's filled with all kinds of distractions and all kinds of tumah, going out, leaving kedusha, going out from the Bais HaMedrash, going out from the home, and the person's afraid to leave. Shema b'soich hatir de loisuch halach zayis bor Hashem. He's afraid because he's going to be going to places where he's not going to see. He's afraid he won't be able to see in a clear way the Or of Hashem, to see the light of Hashem in these places where he's going that day, or this time in his life. He's afraid. It's a crazy world. He's afraid. So when it says in the Gemara, "Kshaata yoytze laderach," when you're going out on a journey, when you're leaving, it means when you're leaving that clarity, when you're leaving that place, the Beis Medrash, the yeshiva, the home, when you're leaving that reality of Elokus that's so clear to you, and you're going into the world outside, you're afraid that maybe it won't be clear to you at work. Maybe you're going to forget who you are. Maybe you're going to forget, and the mind is going to lose its malchus. The mind is going to be dethroned. When you get to work, there's some pretty secretary over there, and you lose your mind. And the malchus starts to crumble. So the Gemara says in Eitzah, "Lezehu Eitzah shetekabel alocha malchus shemayim koydim shata nichnas ba'atirda." The Rebbe explains that the Gemara is telling us that any time that you're about to go into a tirda, into a place of distraction and confusion, shetekabel alecha malchus shemayim, accept upon yourself, O malchus shemayim. Remember the Rebbeinu Shlom. Kodem shata nichnas ba'atirda, v'zafila ba'atirda ayoyse gedola, then you will see. A lot of this, a lot of what the Bilvavi Mishkan Evne writes about in Chelik Aleph and Beis, is this avoida of before you go out and when you are at work, or you are, when you are on the street, where you are someplace where it's easy to forget the Rabbanu Shlomo. Then even if you're in the most busy, distracting, confusing, or even disgusting situation, you could always go back to home base. You could put your foot on the base. You keep your foot on the base. You're close to first base, to second, wherever that base, you put your foot on the base. You don't get picked off. You stay close. Din yiv kabolus ol malchus shamayim. Voz ki sh'oimid bahatir d'machim es gorel hatsa'oke. Now, how does this Kabbalah O Malchus Shamayim, how will it affect you when you're in that crazy place? How will it help you? So he says, because even though when you are in that place, it's very hard to see Hashem, but there'll be a tremendous tzaka coming from your heart, there'll be a scream inside of your heart. There'll be a scream coming from deeper than your heart. That screaming is saying, Rabbi Shalom, I don't want to slip away from you. I don't want the malchus to fall. I don't want to be a behemah. In other words, when you are nimlach b'koincha, when you are makabel o malchus shamayim, before you go into that tirda, so then l'kola pachas, when you're in that place of confusion, When you're in that place of the malchus, of the sitrach, of the other side, there at least will be within you a scream. I don't want to be this way. I don't want this to happen to me. I don't want to do this. I don't want to become like this. I want to stay connected to the base. Kafilum en gadol behirus. When the Rebbe used the word kifus, it means there are no guarantees. No matter how many mitzvahs you've done, there are no guarantees. When you go out into the world, you can lose everything. No tkifus, no tainus. The Rebbe Shem doesn't owe you a thing. There's no guarantees. You have no card. Like, you know, just because you think you have something to get into one of these garages, one of these parking lots, that doesn't work when it comes to Kedusha. There's no card like that. Nothing. There's no guarantees. Kein la'odem klum etzel boirei. You have nothing over the one who created you. He doesn't owe you a thing. Doesn't owe you anything. Doesn't owe you. Ukinin d'chsiv mihik demani v'ashalim tachas kol shamayim lihu. The Rebbe Shlom says, somebody came before me. Nobody came before me, and I don't owe anything to anybody. So rak ikar hatayna sheyesh l'odom l'fahamim, but the Rebbe says, but there is some sort of a taina. One can have some sort of a taina. A taina here doesn't mean that you're a complaint. A taina means a claim. There can be a claim. What's the claim? Hu rak be'esh nistim yimena or Hashem isbar. When Hashem hides from you. Oz yesh lo taina. Ki nisasani v'tashlicheini. Rabbi Shlomo, I was davening, I was learning, I was so close to you. And because of the inyan you have with me in this world, I have to go out into these places where you're so hidden. You lifted me up, and then you threw me down. You lifted me up in shul, in davening, in learning, and then you plopped me onto the F train or something. Like, you know, what is this? So the Rebbe says, it's a taina, there's a taina, a little bit of taina. David HaMelech said, so we have a taina. Rabbi Shlomo, why is it that before everything was so clear and now everything is so confusing and so hidden? From this cry, from this scream of the heart, from this claim or cry, this taina, Mizois had tzaok of a taina sheyesh lo Hashem isbarach, meyu lo Hashem isbarach. It's a very powerful weapon to draw Hashem's light back into your world, to suddenly bring you back to home plate, bring you back to the base, even though it looked like you're going to get picked off. Amish, you're leaning the other way. That's the chachma with picking a guy off the base, right? When you get him leaning the wrong way, it's a chachma. A pitcher that's good at that. There were some pitchers that were famous at being able to do that. The guy's taking lead off at first. You're Americans, right? You know about baseball?
Yeah.
So the guy's taking lead off at first. So the key thing for the pitcher to pick this guy off is to get him when he's just making that tenua, the other way, right? And you throw it to first, and you could get him. But if he's makusha to the base still, even though he's moved away, but he's makusha to it and his eyes are on the base, he'll be okay. He was a good base runner. He'll be okay. He'll dive back. He'll be okay. But if you get him when he's leaning the wrong way, you pick him off. So the Jew has a tzaka belev, a scream in the heart. He says, I don't want to leave. I don't want to leave this base of kedusha. I don't want to leave this base. So even though. You're in such a shafila bahatir da atzma hayloi kav. This Jew, who's makabel upon himself o malchus shemaim, which is what this whole Torah is about, kabbalas o malchus shemaim. In other words, in the morning, especially the seder that the Rebbe was talking about, clearing out, washing the hands, lifting the hands up to the mind, shema kabbalas o malchus shemaim, asking for everything that you need because you want to serve God and be part of His malchus. And then before you go out into the crazy world, you have a big, big Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Rabbi Shalom, you got to help me out. Then, Afilu Bahatirda Atzma Hayilokav. Even in the Tirda itself, even at work, even in the confusion, even in that craziness, there's a Kav. Hayilokav. What does it mean, a Kav? A line. I mean, you could use the muscle of the hand stretching out to be able to touch the base. You still have a kav. You're still attached. You're still connected. Ah, you left the house. You left the Beis HaMedrash. You left Kedusha. But there's still a kav. Remember, the word kav is the word tikva, which means hope. Kav elasha. You're still connected. Ashimizeh hakav, hoylo chibur im ori yisbar. And through this kav, this line, you're still connected to God's light. Even though you're in a place that seems to be the opposite of godliness. Zeroimez erach apayim. And that is what is hinted at in the term erach apayim. Now, one would have to know more Kabbalah in order to get to the deeper meaning of what he's talking about, the Inin of Erech HaPayim, and what Arich is, the Madrega of Keser, of Crown, Arich Anpin and Arich Apayim, and the connection. But in Yanenu that we're learning here now, Arich means when something, we use that to speak about Hashem's patience, how he bears with you, he sticks with you, he stays with you, he works with you, right, Arich Apayim? Arich means when something is long, right? Arich means when something is long, it stretches. What the Rebbe is teaching us here is that a Jew is able to live a life where he has the koach to stretch Hashem's presence beyond the limits of the yeshiva, of the Beis HaMedrash, beyond the limits of Kedusha. Erech Apai. To make a kav, a line that connects him to God, that maintains that chibur, that attachment to home base. That's what it means, Erech. Hashem is marech with this person. He doesn't leave him just because he left the Beis HaMedrash. If a person, the second he goes out to the street, he could be sitting, a guy went to the mikveh, a guy went to shul, and he learned the daf yomi, he walks onto the street, the first girl that passes by, he's already fafal. He's already finished. So what happens? The mikveh, and the whole davening, and the daf yomi, and he also learned the Tanya for 15 minutes, half hour. And he said, look at the tefillahs for another half hour, and tikkun klali. The second he gets out from the door, there's a girl walking by, and he's already finished. What happened to the... Nothing went past the mikveh. Nothing extended beyond the Beis HaMedrash. He walks out of the shul, finished. God didn't go with him. The Rebbe is talking about taking God with you. He's marich. There's a long line that attaches you back to home. You're connected to home. Erech Apai. V'zeh ha'inyan nami shel shivas yimei milom. Now the Rebbe ends by connecting it all to the parsha, which of course you know, v'hiba yom ha'shmini, the 7 days of all the korbanos and the preparations, until finally, v'hiba yom ha'shmini, that it was time for Ashuras HaShchina, for the whole purpose of creation to be fulfilled with the Mishkan. V'hiba yom ha'shmini. That's this parsha. V'zeh inyan nami shel shivas yimei milom, ki b'chol shivas yomim, we know that each day of the Miluim, Moshe Rabbeinu put up the Mishkan and took it down. Put it up and took it down. Every single day. Up and down. What is that assembling and the disassembling? What is that? Until Shmini, until the 8th. Zemarik Meshisa Bemadrish Malamach Akashbroch Bari Ilamus Machrivan, Vomer Yasan Lehanoyinli, Dain Hanoyinli. Chazal say in a number of places that Hashem created worlds and destroyed worlds. Until finally, this world Hashem said, this is the world that I want. And there was much discussion in the Svarma Kedoshim of what were those destroyed worlds. What does that mean? Hashem doesn't make mistakes. But Hashem created the universe in a way of assembling and taking apart. Until finally there was the world, this world that we're in. He put together and he took it down. Moshe Rabbeinu puts together the Mishkan every day, 7 days, takes it apart. Hashem puts the world together every day, takes it apart. Almond de Chareven, the worlds that were destroyed, put together and taken apart. Hainu, so look what he says, an amazing thing. Hainu, shemizoy satsaoke, shahoya oz me almond as charven, maduan is asonu mutashlichainu, nivne ike oilam hatikun. The Rebbe says, you know how this universe came to be? From the scream, from the taina, from the cry that came up from those worlds that were destroyed. Because those worlds cried out to God and said, we were once close to you. We were once healthy. We once were assembled. We once existed. And then all of a sudden, you took away that closeness and we fell apart. So the destroyed worlds have a taina. And mikoach, that sa'aka, that scream. Nivne ikar olam hatikun is the olam hatikun. It's saying a very deep thing in Kabbalah. But niv, the world, the universe came to be because of its failure to be. Of its fear of not being. The Almond Chareven scream out and say, Baruch Shalom, how could you hide your face from us? So Moshe Rabbeinu was building the Mishkan. The Mishkan is The Mishkan is the entire universe. It's the world being built. Moshe Rabbeinu puts it up, takes it down, puts it up, takes it down. The Alma Dechareven. And when the world is taken down, when the Mishkan is taken apart, there's a screen. Why did you lift me up and then throw me down? Why did you bring me close to you? Then you sent me away from you. And from that taina, from that sa'oka, Vayhi b'yom hashmi, there came yom hashmi, meaning there came true existence, the Mishkan, the world. Olam hatikun. Ukmoy chayin hocha, mizoyis hatzaoke shahoye b'shiva sayyame madu anistam yimenu shuv zehaar. From the screaming of those days that Moshe Rabbeinu was putting up the Mishkan, and then the Mishkan couldn't stay together, it had to be taken apart. There was the tzaka, the screaming, the crying of anyone and anybody, anything that was close to God and that was sent away. That tried to get close and couldn't sustain that closeness. And by that scream, by that cry, the world was able to have a kav, erech apayim, a line connecting it to the infinite one that would see to it, that would guarantee that it would be able to exist, that it wouldn't fall apart. And then on the eighth day, eight means beyond this world, it means Bismillah, it means Chanukah, it means Yovel, it means beyond, where things won't have to fall apart anymore, and there won't be any more distance from Hashem. The Ikka Olam HaTikun comes from the tzaakas of all those who were close to God, and then they're terrified by being far away from Him, and are crying out and complaining and begging not to lose contact with the Creator. From that scream, from that cry, comes creation. That's why the strongest time of Mashiach coming, Chazal tells us, is Matzoi Shviz, after the seventh year, after Shemitah. This year is Shemitah. After Shemitah is the strongest time. Matzoi Shviz, Ben David Bo. Matzoi Shviz. It's the whole world is in this cycle of seven, of ups and downs, of being close and being far away. The Ikkar is to be makabel al malchus shemayim, and even when you feel like you're far away, to scream out and to keep that kav, to keep that line connected. You know, when you do something, God forbid, that you shouldn't do, you look at something, chas v'shalom, you shouldn't look at, God forbid, instead of being a baby and crying and saying, I'm a rosh, I'm a mushchas, I'm a manuvel, you take out, after you do it, take out a tilum, take out a tikkun kolali. Everybody's always taking out tilums when they're not doing aveiros. What about after you, God forbid, do something you shouldn't do? Don't let it snap. Don't let that connection to Hashem snap. You take out a tilum, you take out a tikkun kolali, you cry out to Baruch Shalom, Nisa sani v'tashlicheni, I was close to you and now you're so hidden from me, I can't live like this. And you keep that line connected and He brings you back in like a fishing rod. He reels you back into Him. You got to keep the kav. Kav el Hashem, chazak v'yamitz libecha, v'kavir l'Hashem. We should be zarechim as Hashem. L'yishuos ha-kivisi Hashem. Hakol b'kivui, Chazal say. Everything comes with kivui. With longing and with hope and with davening. With the kav always being connected to the Bar. And that's the kav that's going to pull us back to Him. And we'll be zarechim as Hashem. All those who had hope in Hashem. L'yishuos ha-kivinu v'tzipinu kol hayayim as Hashem. To see the gula sharamitis. Me'ami amen amen v'am. Mara. The piece that needs to be